ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయేత్. నష్టప్రాయేష్వ భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవతీర్ఉత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్టికీ. కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీనందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః.
రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెంటో 11 చాప్టర్ 22 ఎంటైటిల్డ్ ఎలిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ క్రియేషన్ టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 7.
పరస్పరాణుప్రవేశాత్ తత్వానాం పురుషర్షభ పౌర్వాపర్య ప్రసంఖ్యానం యథా వక్తుర్వివక్షితం. పరస్పరాణుప్రవేశాత్ తత్వానాం పురుషర్షభ పౌర్వాపర్య ప్రసంఖ్యానం యథా వక్తుర్వివక్షితం. పరస్పరాణుప్రవేశాత్ తత్వానాం పురుషర్షభ పౌర్వాపర్య ప్రసంఖ్యానం యథా వక్తుర్వివక్షితం. పరస్పరాణుప్రవేశ పురుషర్షభ
మాతాజీ
పరస్పరాణుప్రవేశ తత్వానాం పురుషర్షభ పౌర్వాపర్య ప్రసంఖ్యానం యథా వక్తుర్వివక్షితం.
వర్డ్ టు వర్డ్ ట్రాన్స్లేషన్స్. పరస్పర మ్యూచువల్ అనుప్రవేశాత్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ది ఎంట్రన్స్ యాజ్ సటిల్ కాసెస్ విద్ ఇన్ గ్రాస్ మేనిఫెస్టేషన్స్ అండ్ వైస్ వర్స తత్వానాం of the various elements purusharshaba who best among men paurva in terms of prior causes aparya are of resultant products prasankyanam enumeration yatha however వక్తు ద స్పీకర్ వివక్షితం వాంట్స్ టు డిస్క్రైబ్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఏసీ భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి శిల ప్రభుపాద్ బై ద డిసైపుల్స్ ఆఫ్ శిల ప్రభుపాద్. translation. Oh, best among men, because subtle and gross elements mutually enter into one another, philosophers may calculate the number of basic material elements in different ways, according to their personal desire. Purport: material creation takes place as a chain reaction in which subtle elements expand and transform into progressively denser elements. Since a cause is in a sense present within its effect, and the effect is subtly present within the cause, all subtle and gross elements have entered within one another. Thus, one may categorize basic material elements in many different ways, assigning various numbers and names according to one's methodology. Although material philosophers proudly assume their individual theories to be supreme, they are all speculating according to their personal proclivities, as described in this and the following verse. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuronmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namavo Mishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Shatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Kadadar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavranda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So in this particular chapter of the Uddhava Gita, Uddhava began this chapter with certain questions to Krishna. Uddhava's question is about the number of elements in the material creation. So Uddhava asked that, I heard that you describe that totally there are 28 elements. But according to other philosophers, they count in different ways. Some people say there are 26 elements, some people say 25. Some people say there are 7 elements or 9 elements or only 4 elements. Some philosophers say there are 11 elements or 13 elements. So can you please explain why there are so many different opinions by the different sages about the number of elements? When they were counting the number of elements, what did they have in their mind that they came to such a number? Can you please explain this? So that was the question of actually Uddhava. And Krishna answered, Krishna began the answer by saying, that all the material elements are, because all the material elements are present everywhere, it is reasonable that different brahmanas have analyzed in different ways. And all these philosophers, they have spoken about the number of elements under the shelter of my Maya potency. And thus, so they have spoken in different ways. And many of these philosophers, their attitude is that they want to present a theory which is different from others. I don't want to analyze and come to the same conclusion as the previous philosopher. So therefore, different munis actually counted in different ways. And they are all actually all these disagreements are arising by my Maya potency. And then Krishna said that, but for those people who have fixed their intelligence on me, these differences disappear. So that for those who actually fix their mind and intelligence on me, that they don't have any arguments. The cause of the argument is removed. And then in today's verse, Krishna is mentioning that why there are actually different conclusions about the number of elements. Because there are different elements, some are subtle, some are gross. The gross elements come from the subtle. If you see the, if you study the creation also, the second canto, the creation proceeds from subtle to gross. The unmanifest prakriti, and then the manifest prakriti, pradhana to, and then mahatattva. From mahatattva, then it becomes more gross in the form of false ego. False ego in the mode of goodness, passion, ignorance, false ego in the mode of goodness. From that comes the mind and the different presiding deities, the devatas who are controlling the different senses. And false ego in the mode of ignorance, from the mode of passion comes the intelligence. And false ego in the, from the false ego in the mode of ignorance comes the different elements. So the creation proceeds from subtle to gross. So from that sense, we can see that the gross, the effect is in the cause. So when people count, they may count the only the causes, understanding that the effects are present in the cause. So then their count of the number of elements will be less. Because they understand the effect is, like instead of counting the, say the intelligence, so if they just include false ego in mode of ignorance, so, false ego in mode of passion, in that the intelligence is actually included. So then intelligence is not be separately counted. From false ego in the mode of goodness comes the different sense devatas and mind. So if they include the false ego in mode of goodness, and they, by the according to the principle, the effect is in the cause, they don't have to separately count the mind. So according to this principle, since a cause is in one sense present within the effect, and the effect is subtly present within the cause, then all subtle and gross elements have entered within one another. So therefore, some people may choose to count the causes. So therefore, they may come up with a lesser number of elements. Some people may choose to count the different effects also. They may come up with a greater number of elements. In that way, Krishna is giving a reasoning behind why there are actually different opinions about the number of elements. I have to give a simple example. Suppose we have a collection of balls are there. So some balls are red in color, some are green in color. But among the red color balls, some are dark, having dark red color, some are having light red color. Some are having dark green, some are actually having light green in color. And somebody is counting, like what are the different types of balls are there. So somebody may count, okay, light green balls are this much, dark green balls are this much. Like that one may count. He may come up with a greater variety of the number of balls. Somebody else may put all the light green and the dark green balls, everything in the one category as green balls. All the dark red and light red balls, everything in one category as like red colored balls. So he may come up with a lesser variety of the balls. So in that way, there are different ways of counting. So Krishna is giving a reasoning why the philosophers come up with a different number of the basic elements. So we see in the scriptures, like, sometimes there are varied opinions about the same subject matter. Here is an example. There are varied opinions about the number of elements. So generally, to reconcile the various opinions, it requires some maturity. Like, even on a physical platform, when a person is young, he can eat varieties of foodstuffs and he can easily digest it. But as a person's body grows old, he may not be able to digest varieties of foodstuffs. He may be able to digest only a simple rice, dal, sabji, like that, on a physical platform. So, being the ability to digest different varieties of foodstuff, that shows actually good digestion capacity. And the when we talk about the philosophical aspect, in the beginning, one may not be able to digest different varieties of opinions on the same subject matter. One can get confused, one can get bewildered. But as the time progresses, when a person becomes more mature, one may see, one may hear varieties of opinions about the same subject matter. The ability to digest and reconcile the different varieties of opinions, that actually shows one's maturity in the growth of the spiritual life. In fact, this particular quality of the devotee is also mentioned by Krishna in the Uddhava Gita. In one verse, one of the previous chapters in Uddhava Gita, when Krishna is mentioning the different qualities of the devotees, one of the quality he mentions is the devotee is a kavi. For kavi means a poet, but here the definition of the word kavi which is given is that one who can harmonize the different contradictory qualities, or one who can harmonize the different contradictory opinions. So that is the quality of a kavi. So therefore, that here Krishna himself is demonstrating that how he is actually reconciling the different ways by which the different people are counting. We see, according to like a certain research, that particular research, I saw that at the age of, say, 3 years, or at the age of, say, 5 years, 95% of the children think differently. And by the time, after going through some 25 years of modern education, according to that research, only 2% think differently. So generally, the modern education, it curtails our thinking propensity. It trains a person to think in only one particular way, which is not how your education system should be actually. So therefore, that we see in this particular episode, all these different philosophers, they think in different ways and they come up with the different counts. One philosopher, George Bernard Shaw, he says that 2% of the people think, 3% of the people think that they think, 95% of the people would rather die than think. So that means, like, we find that he's telling that how people are they don't want to think about before making a decision. They don't want to think about the higher aspects of life. But actually, the quality of a muni is that he's thoughtful, and even a devotee also. Many places in the Bhagavatam, Parishit Maharaj addresses Shukdev Goswami by the word muni sattama. the best among the munis and the best among the devotees. Another place he calls Shukadeva Goswami, I think he calls Narada Muni, addresses Mahamunin, the greatest among the munis. So, some places devotees called as Sthitadhir Muni. So, Sthitadhir Muni, Muni Sattama, they are different from the ordinary munis. The ordinary munis, they just want to somehow think differently from others. But a devotee is thoughtful, but he is thoughtful in terms of how I can better serve Krishna. How I can better reach out to the people in giving Krishna consciousness. So that is how he thinks. The different other munis, they are actually thinking in terms of how I can come up with a different philosophy. They come up with a different philosophy, different ideologies. But in the case of a devotee, his goal is fixed, but he is thinking in terms of how I can better serve Krishna. That's why one purport Prabhupada says that a devotee is as thoughtful as a non-devotee is speculative. So we see that these munis are thinking in different ways and they come up with different conclusions. And as I mentioned, these differences in conclusion, they should be reconciled. That is a sign of maturity. But Prabhupada gives another angle. In one place he says that these differences in perception should not only be reconciled, but they should also be cultivated. They should also be cultivated. That means, he says that if you want to keep your Krishna consciousness active and fresh, then you must try to understand the subject matter from different angles of vision. To keeping Krishna consciousness very active means that one must try to understand Krishna from different angles of vision. That is what Krishna is demonstrating here. But Krishna, in one sense, is agreeing to, like he says in these verses, I agree with all these philosophers because when they are counting the number of elements, they have a particular logic. And all these people are learned and agree that. I agree to their opinion. Because Krishna himself is putting himself in the shoes of them, and then he is trying to appreciate, oh, they also have a logic. It means like Krishna could appreciate, Krishna could see the how these different people are counting the number of elements from different angles of vision. And that is what Prabhupada recommends, that in order to keep the Krishna consciousness active, one must try to understand Krishna from different angles of vision. Like Prabhupada mentions in different purports in the Bhagavatam also the same point. Like Jiva Goswami mentions in the Krishna Sandarbha, he says, Srimad Bhagavatam is like a Kamadenu cow. That means, Kamadenu cow, like it is like a wish-fulfilling cow. It can give any amount of milk. What does it mean here? That each verse can give unlimited lessons when you see from different angles of vision. Each verse can give actually abundance of milk-like knowledge. Just like a Kamadenu cow can give abundant milk. Each verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam can give abundance of milk-like knowledge when you see from different angles of vision. Only thing we have to be careful when we study the Shastra from different angles of vision is that we should ensure that whatever the different points of view we come up with, they should not contradict the Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Within the boundaries of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, one should try to see from different angles of vision, and then when you do that, then the Krishna consciousness will not remain in otherwise one may get bored. When you see from different angles of vision, Krishna consciousness becomes very fresh and it becomes very live. So that is what is Prabhupada is recommending. So therefore, but only thing one has to be careful is one should conform to the Guru's, one should be within the boundaries of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Like for example, if you see the personality of Krishna, we try to see the personality of Krishna from different angles of vision. One role of Krishna is that Krishna is an intimate lover. According to the Shastras, like Krishna had 16,108 wives and Krishna had millions of Krishna associated with millions of gopis. Krishna performed Ras Leela with millions of gopis. So just the sheer number itself is something mind-boggling for a conditioned soul. Quantitatively, nobody can imitate such level of actually loving reciprocation. Qualitatively speaking, even with one person to exhibit such intense emotions throughout one's life, qualitatively, that also becomes difficult practically. But Krishna, qualitatively as well as quantitatively, he exhibited such intimate loving exchanges with so many devotees, the gopis and the queens of Vrindavan. This is one aspect of Krishna. Krishna is an intimate lover. Another aspect of Krishna is that Krishna as a social reformer. Krishna choosing to marry the 16,100 queens who are held captive by Bhaumasur. Actually, these queens, they had nowhere to go because the society culture was such that if a woman was under the custody of some other man, she would not be accepted by anybody. Even the parents would not accept them. And they would not be accepted by any other men also. But Krishna married all of them and then he gave them a respectable social identity. So in that way, Krishna demonstrated the role as a social reformer. It is not that Krishna went after those women, but those women actually, they took shelter of Krishna. So after killing Narakasur, Krishna actually gave shelter to them. So Krishna is a social reformer. Another aspect of Krishna is that Krishna as the exterminator. So according to the best modern estimates about the statistics on the war, of course all these statistics cannot be accurate, but according to whatever statistics are available, they are analyzed by counting the different wars which have taken place in the various centuries, in the last maybe few thousand years. They say the recorded number of people who got killed in the different wars is at 487 million people. Definitely, this it's not an accurate figure, but just to according to the statistics, I'm just quoting some figure. It just gives some idea of the scale of violence. And these wars were conducted whatever statistics they had actually measured, the statistics based on the wars which took place in over 14 centuries in different countries, in different places, in different months, different years. Some wars took place for many years. But compare this with the Mahabharata war. In the Mahabharata war, according to the Stree Parva, chapter 26, the number of people who got killed in the Mahabharata war is 1,660,020,000 men. Four times the number of people who got killed in the these war statistics which took place in 14 centuries. In how many days? In 18 days. And Krishna took part in the Mahabharata war. So we can see the Krishna's role as an exterminator. Of course, we can see another Krishna's role as an exterminator. We can also see, if you read the Kandavaprastha episode, how Krishna and Arjuna, they burnt the Kandavaprastha forest. If you read the description, it may appear very ghastly. But the fact is that Krishna also played the role of an exterminator, because destruction is also required if you want to create something substantial. If a building is in an old, dilapidated condition, you need to destroy that building in order to create something beautiful. Otherwise, many people will get, many people will unnecessarily get killed. So therefore, destruction is also an important aspect of the Lord's creation, and the Lord Krishna played that role also. And another aspect of Krishna is Krishna as a statesman. Krishna as a statesman, as a diplomat, as a politician. Like people say that, do not mix religion and politics. So many people try to separate God and spirituality from the country and the politics. This is a completely sentimental opinion. This is like disconnecting Krishna from Kurukshetra altogether. So it's like disconnecting Krishna from Kurukshetra altogether and confining Krishna only to the groves of Vrindavan. So the Kurukshetra war was fought, it was not fought just to facilitate the loving exchanges of in Vrindavan. The Kurukshetra war was fought to establish the Dharma Rajya. So Krishna played a crucial role as a statesman. So we see that that this is also an important role of Krishna as a statesman. And like one of the reasons why Krishna is difficult to understand is that Krishna has many facets of personality. There are personalities like Gandhi. He was dedicated only to the cause of Ahimsa. It is easy to understand such a person. And there are personalities like Stalin, Mussolini and other people who are warmongers, who are only into like violence. So it is easy to understand both a pacifist and a warmonger. But Krishna is very difficult to understand, because Krishna had both these aspects. Because there are so many aspects of his personality, you cannot confine Krishna to only one particular quality. So that is what Prabhupada says, that one should try to understand Krishna from different angles of vision. Another aspect of Krishna is that Krishna is a philosopher. If we see in science, there are actually different constants are there. Like the gravitational constant. But whenever the students performed experiments, the value would not come to 9.8. Or like in astronomical, this one, they had a Hubble's constant. But then, every few years, the Hubble's constant, the scientists kept on changing the value of the Hubble's constant. And then after some time, they changed the term itself, Hubble's variable. But Krishna's teachings in the Gita, they are, in the true sense, they are the constant. Because Krishna's teachings are, they apply to all times, all places, all circumstances, in all countries, for all, people of all religion, irrespective of which caste they come from. So that is the aspect of Krishna as a philosopher, both in Uddhava Gita as well as in Bhagavad Gita. So we see various aspects of Krishna's personality. So therefore,
it would be a great injustice to measure Krishna only from a singular dimension of life. Those who study Krishna only from a singular dimension of life, they are practicing pseudo-spirituality. Yeah, one's personal meditation can be Vrindavan Krishna, Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas, Taddama Vrindavanam. But especially when a person is in a leadership role, if he does not understand all the different aspects of Krishna, his decisions will be bound to be narrow-minded and which will affect a greater number of people. So therefore, one has to study the different aspects of Krishna. And if we study the very names of Krishna, we have many names of Krishna in relation to the process of bhakti. Bhakta Vatsala, Sadhu Chitta, Sadhu Grastamana, Bhakta Paradina, Aham Bhakta Paradina, Yasvatantra Iva Dvija, Asvatantra, that means Krishna says, I am independent, I am dependent on my devotees. Sadhu Priya, Sadhu Dana, I am the wealth of the devotees. Bhakta Jana Priya. So all these names of Krishna are in relation to Bhakta and the process of Bhakti. And there are many names of Krishna in relation to Dharma also. What are the names of Krishna in relation to Dharma? Dharma Dhyaksha, Overseer of Dharma, Dharma, the personification of Dharma, Dharma Viduttama, the best knower of Dharma, Dharma Gupa, the protector of Dharma, Dharma Krita, the propagator of Dharma, Satya Dharma Parakrama, the champion of true Dharma, Satya Dharma, the abode of true Dharma, Satya Dharma Parayana, the shelter of the true practitioners of Dharma. So these names of Krishna in relation to Dharma comes in the, they come in the Vishnu Sahasranam. So therefore, being conscious of Krishna means being conscious of both these aspects of Krishna, Krishna in relation to bhakti and Krishna in relation to Dharma. Especially the roles of Krishna as a statesman, and all these roles of Krishna are played with respect to the role of actually establishing Dharma. So therefore, one has to understand Krishna from different angles of vision. That's what Krishna is trying to do, that all these munis are trying to understand the number of elements from different angles, and Krishna is able to appreciate that. And he is explaining the logic behind that. Like, for example, in the Ashwatthama episode also, the punishment of Ashwatthama in the first canto, Ashwatthama killed the 5 sleeping sons of the Pandavas, and then the Arjuna went after Ashwatthama. Arjuna brought the Ashwatthama, he captured Ashwatthama. That time, if we see Draupadi's role, we can see Draupadi's role from 3 different angles. One is, Draupadi is playing the role of a mother. She says, I can understand the pain of losing the children. So therefore, I can feel what pain Kripi will go through if Ashwatthama is killed. So therefore, do not kill Ashwatthama. So Draupadi plays the, exhibits her motherly role. And Draupadi also, another role which Prabhupada highlights is that Draupadi's role as a Vaishnava, that Draupadi is ready to forgive that person who killed her 5 sleeping sons. We can compare Draupadi with Gandhari, and Gandhari, when her 100 sons were killed, and though they were killed in the battlefield, but Gandhari became so angry that she went to the extent of cursing Krishna. But Draupadi, her 5 sons were killed when they were asleep in a brutal manner, but she is ready to forgive that person who killed her five sons. So we can see her Vaishnava as we can see the Vaishnava aspect of Draupadi. And the third aspect of Draupadi which Prabhupada highlights is the justice point of view. From a justice point of view, Draupadi is behaving in a sentimental way. Draupadi is behaving in a sentimental way. She is saying that, oh, don't punish, after all, he is a Brahmana, he is the son of your guru, which Prabhupada condemns that. So we can see, like that, in every episode of Bhagavatam, or the Shastra, when you see from different angles of vision, within the boundaries of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, we can actually get different lessons. So coming to the point of the munis, one of the difference between the munis and the devotees is that the psychology of the muni is that every muni wants to think differently from other munis. So they will come up with a different conclusion. Because they want to be distinct in their conclusion. We say profit, adoration and distinction. So the munis, they want to come up with a distinct theory. So that is their goal. So therefore, they come up with some theory which is different from others. But in the case of a devotee, although a devotee may be unique, but he considers himself to be one among others. That is the difference between a devotee and a muni. Like in the Rasa Panchadhyaya, when Krishna told the gopis that you must actually go back, you should not stay in the forest, you must go and actually take care of your husbands and children. At that time, gopis actually speak to Krishna. And one of the words they say that, we just want to be your maid servants. We just want to be your maid servants. And then they give the reasoning, that even Lakshmi Devi, whose glance is sought after by the great devatas with great endeavor, and that Lakshmi Devi, she has achieved the unique position of always remaining in the chest of Krishna, the chest of Lord Narayan. But still, although she is having a unique position of being in the chest of Lord Narayan, but she desires to she desires the dust of Narayan's lotus feet. Even though desiring the dust of the lotus feet of Lord Narayan means that she has to share the dust with Tulasi Devi. She is having a unique position in the chest, but she is desiring the dust of Lord Narayan's feet. Although that would mean that she has to share that position with Tulasi Devi and with many other servants who are actually serving the Lord in the mood of the dasas. So we can see, this is an example, although a devotee like Lakshmi Devi is unique, but she is aspiring to be the one among the different other servants of the Lord. And she aspires to serve the Lord in the mood of a dasya rasa. So that is the difference between a muni and a devotee. The devotee, although he is unique and distinct, but he wants to be one among, like any other devotee. And another distinction between the muni and the devotee is that the munis actually, they want to disagree with every other muni. Therefore, they come up with a different theory. But in the case of the devotees, that the devotees, they do not disagree with other devotees in the core Siddhanta. Like for example, if you see the Ajamil episode, the glories of the holy name were spoken by four different personalities in that episode. First, Vishnuduta spoke about the glories of the holy name. But even after hearing that, Yamadutas, they were not convinced. They went to Yamaraj and they said, they went in an angry mood to Yamaraj because they were stopped from taking away Ajamil. They asked Yamaraj, is there somebody superior to you? We thought that you are the supreme. And then Yamaraj also reconfirms the glories of bhakti to the Yamadutas. And then Shukadeva Goswami also reconfirms the glories of the holy name in the same episode to Parishit Maharaj. Mriyamano Harer Nama, Grinan Putropacharitam, Ajamilopi Agadama, Kimpuna Shraddhayagrinam. Shukadev Goswami also confirms the same glories of the holy name. And Agastya Rishi also. Shukadev Goswami, I think he says that I heard this from Agastya Rishi. Agastya Rishi also confirms the same glories of the holy name. So the devotees, they do not disagree with each other in regards to the core Siddhanta. Yeah, but there may be disagreement in regards to application of how to serve Krishna. There is no disagreement in regards to whether to serve Krishna or not. But there may be disagreement in regards to in the application and how to serve Krishna. So this is the distinction between the munis, another distinction between the munis and the devotees. And another thing we can see here is that we can see this episode from a leadership point of view. That like one of the 64 qualities of Krishna with Rupa Goswami mentions is that Pratibhanvita means Krishna can manifest novel ideas spontaneously. Whatever argument you may put forward to Krishna, he can come up with novel ideas spontaneously. Like some people, they require some time to come up with some creative ideas and creative opinion or some different opinion. Some people need to think. But Krishna can spontaneously come up with novel ideas. Like Mahaprabhu, when he would be talking with Gadadhar Pandit, he would actually refute the different philosophers, he would keep refuting, and then they would be convinced, and then he would refute his own opinions. In that way, he would go back and forth. So this is one of the quality of Krishna. So Krishna could have refuted, in one sense, all these opinions of the munis. He is having that quality, but Krishna is not doing that. He is saying that all these opinions are correct. If we see from their point of view, there is a particular logic to that. So this quality of putting oneself in the shoes of others and acknowledging others' opinion and respecting their opinion, that is a great quality of a leadership. That's a great quality of leadership. Krishna is not having that my way is highway. Like one person told, he said that I give full freedom to my teammates to discuss about the different subject matters. And then I tell them what to do. So there will be like many such leaders like that. And then, sometimes people, they can't accept a different opinion. But Krishna is actually, he's accepting all these opinions because he is actually able to appreciate that all these opinions have a particular logic. And there is one philosopher, he said, let me never fall into the vulgar mistake of dreaming that I am persecuted whenever I am contradicted. That means, sometimes we have the notion that I am my opinion. When a person becomes attached to the particular opinion, and when he sees that others are giving a different opinion, one feels that he is being persecuted. So Krishna, according to him, the number of elements are 28. But there are so many different philosophers, they are coming up with a different number of counts. But Krishna is actually appreciating and acknowledging their number of counts also, seeing that they also have a particular logic. So therefore, we see that one of the greatest quality of Krishna is that Krishna allowed himself to be questioned by Arjuna. Because by allowing himself to be questioned by Arjuna, he raised the standard of Arjuna's consciousness. If Krishna would have labeled Arjuna's doubts, oh, you are actually a rebel or you are actually You are not submissive. If Krishna had labeled Arjuna's doubts like that, then we would not have had the Gita only. So therefore, one of the quality of a leadership is that, one of the quality of a strong leadership is that one allows oneself to be questioned by others and one acknowledges the others' opinions also. And we see that this aspect of Krishna in the 18th chapter of the Gita also. The 18th chapter of Gita, when Arjuna asks the question that what is the difference between the sannyasa and tyaga. So Krishna tells that tyajyam doshavad ityeke karma prahur manishina. According to the Sankhya philosophers, they say that all activity should be given up. But yagyadana tapakarma natyajyam iti chapare. And other philosophers who are karma mimamsa philosophers, they say that, yagya, dana, and tapa, they should never be given up. Although Krishna's opinion is slightly different, Krishna says in the few verses later that one should perform yagya, dana, and tapa, but one should perform in the mood of detachment. One should not be attached to the fruits of those activities. Rather, one should perform in a dutiful manner. The karma mimamsa philosophers, they are attached to enjoying the fruits of the activities. And Sankhya philosophers, they are actually, they are attached to renunciation and detachment. But Krishna is advocating, you must perform the activities in the mood of, actually detachment. Without enjoying the fruits of the activities, offering the fruits of the activities of the Supreme Lord. So, although Krishna disagrees with the Sankhya philosophers, but he is calling them as Manishina. He says that karma prahur Manishina, some intelligent people, they say that all activities should be given up. So, generally, the human tendency is that, like when we disagree with somebody, that disagreement later actually turns into disrespect towards the other person. But Krishna is respectfully addressing them as Manishina. And Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead, but still he does not allow his position of Godhood to actually label the other people or to tear apart the opinions of the opponents by saying that, these people are foolish like that. Like Krishna is not actually drawing strength from his position and to call these people as fools or idiots like that. Although he's a Supreme Lord, he doesn't do that. He's calling them as Manishina. So Krishna is seeing the good in them by saying that, they are all actually Manishina. Yeah, although their conclusion may be little different, averse to activities. But still, these Sankhya philosophers, they are actually thinking about how to get out of the bondage. At least their thinking is about how to get out of the bondage. So Krishna is appreciating that and therefore he is calling them as Manishina. So in this way we find that Krishna, how he deals with the other people's opinion, which is actually different from his. And another thing we see, like these munis are coming up with different conclusions. In the Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter, Krishna talks about, Krishna says that, Vada Pravadatam Aham. That means, among the different types of debate, I am the debate called as Vada. So that means there are different types of debate. The Shastras say there are three types of debate. One is called as Jalpa. Jalpa means that two people are arguing with each other, but their intention is that to somehow prove that their viewpoint is correct. So with that intention, the different people are arguing with each other. That my viewpoint is correct. So So that is a debate called as Jalpa. And then there is another view, another kind of debate called as Vitanda. That means, in this debate, the different people who are arguing, their main goal is that somehow to actually defeat the other person's viewpoint. They are not even concerned about proving their viewpoint. They somehow want to disprove or defeat other person's viewpoint. But beyond these two, there is a debate called as Vada. So in this, all the people who are arguing, their actual intention is they want to know the truth. So the first two types of debate, Jalpa and Vitanda, it is actually person-centric, not principle-centric. That means they somehow want to prove I am right or you are wrong. But the third debate, Vada, it is actually principle-centric. I want to know the truth. That is, Krishna says, I am the debate. If we see all the modern-day politicians, like most of their opinions, they come under the category of Jalpa and Vitanda. Even if the other political party, even if they have made some good decisions, but they would not want to appreciate that, somehow or other, whatever they say, we have to say something different from them. So that is that kind of debate. That means the attitude is that person-centric, not principle-centric. But Vada is that type of debate where people are actually focused on the truth. So therefore, that in the case of the Munis, they have the attitude of Jalpa and Vitanda. They want to come up with something different. But Vada, they want, those who are doing debate in the type of Vada, they want to know the truth. And finally, I will conclude with this verse. So we see that all these philosophers, they have different opinions. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a beautiful verse in the glorification of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That verse says that, Helo dunita kedaya, vishadaya, pronmila damodaya, samyat shastra vivadaya rasadaya. So samyat shastra vivadaya, that means that when a person's mind becomes fixed in the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then all these arguments and contradictions which may arise from reading different shastras, they will get resolved. So therefore, that's what Krishna mentioned in the previous verse, that there are many different kinds of philosophers, and by reading them, one often becomes puzzled. But when a person receives the mercy of the Lord, then all this confusion is mitigated. Not only the scriptural disparities are resolved, but a person experiences a kind of a transcendental bliss. That a person experiences a higher taste and the transcendental bliss. So in this way we find that these are few points we wanted to share. We discussed about how one should read from different angles of vision. We discussed that how one should, how we can understand Krishna from different angles of vision. We also took the example of Draupadi. And we discussed about about the different types of debate. We discussed the difference between the psychology of the munis and the devotees. And we also discussed some leadership lessons based on how Krishna is dealing with the different opinions. And then finally, we saw that how all these contradictions can be resolved when a person gets the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So with this, I'll conclude. Since it's beyond time, I'll end the class here. Grantharam Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.